kindly allow me to apologize to all of you for my behavior Saturday morning. I now know there is a loud, throbbing machine that sends shockwaves through the grass into the ground. I mistook this phenomenon for a love song from what surely must have been a fine male specimen and promptly humiliated myself. The lady tried to make me feel better, saying it was easy to misread romantic cues. And once a guy said they should get together, and she thought he meant get together. I gave her my blankest bug-eyed stare, but she must not recognize our facial expressions because she just kept talking, trying to reassure me. You all should be more careful with your words. Some of those distinctions are too subtle to make sense. Cicada world is delicate, but far from subtle. Once we've burrowed our way to the light and shed our exoskeletons, it is time. The males expand and contract a membrane in their abdomen, not what you are thinking, to call us. There is a vibration in the air, I suspect akin to what you mean when you say, the earth moved. We females click in response, the way you and ah and groan. I clicked yesterday. To my mortification, my amorous partner was a rusty lawnmower. Now I'm embarrassed and all fluttery inside, extra sensitive. Had the lawnmower been a cicada, we would have conjoined, and afterward, calmed, I would lay eggs, maybe high in that oak tree over there. When my eggs hatch, because I will manage to do this, perhaps even this evening if I hear the right call, they fall to earth, and our progeny go underground to wait. Is that so terrifying? Perhaps there are simply too many of us at once, reminding you of your horror movies. You call us a swarm, and distract our ability to act en masse, I think because when your species does this, it trades away sanity. But we are not like you. We understand the rhythms of a larger world and cooperate together on our part of the pattern. Not to sound petty, but I made myself read The Infested Mind, Why Humans Fear, Loathe, and Love Insects. There was hardly anything about the love part. Now that I'm reading your words, though, it occurs to me to wonder, is all your hysteria perhaps a projection? The lady who keeps texting her friends, oh my God, they're everywhere, and posting recipes for medieval herbalist concoctions to repel us. Is she really haunted by the possibility of a political takeover, or a break-in, or a demonstration that gets out of control? Because all we do is hop around, or sit on a leaf, maybe take a ride on your shoulder if we're feeling frisky. We do not, for the record, want to drink your blood. It is too thick, rich, and viscous, like a boozy milkshake with extra butterfat. We sip only watered-down tree sap. Have you noticed the sheen of gold on our lacy wings? The bright orange-red, color of a hot sun at sunset, that covers our eyeballs? Surely you can appreciate the brave resolve that sends us underground to protect ourselves, the conscientiousness that brings us back right on time on the 17th year, strong and fit from chomping the dried roots of your failed garden. Not your crops, for God's sake. How many times do we have to tell you it is locusts who eat crops? We do not eat your roses or your daisies. We do not sting you. We have no jaws, thus cannot tear and chew flesh. One guy seemed to get it. He bent close and said softly, the world must be scary, buddy, after all that time underground in the dark and the quiet. I would have let him pick me up, feel my vibrations. I feel sure he would not have squeezed me with a closed fist and shortened my already doomed life. But the rest of you, freaked out by our evening concert, when you kill entire planets in your spare time? You call us beady-eyed and speak of us as buzzing hordes and say our presence is a nightmare. Granted, it's unfortunate that the song of our males hits the same silvery, whining pitch as human anxiety. Multiplied by the thousands, I suppose it could be unsettling. but in a month we will be gone. The laziest of us will not outlast July. Is it too much to ask for a little fresh air and daylight every 17 years? Your murderers get to walk the yard every day. And those are the ones who kill other humans. Killing us is deemed a societal benefit. You are amused when we crunch. While we're on that painful subject, FYI, you love those winky abbreviations, we are not flattered by the Chinese insistence that we are a delicacy. Have you ever been deep-fried? And that golden cicadas recipe that kills our children and plucks off their legs and wings? No need to wonder why our concerts are eerie and sad. At least the Chinese understand our life cycle. They've pronounced us symbols of rebirth. They carve our image from jade and place these precious little fakes on the tongues of their beloved dead to bring them immortality. They could have just asked us. Our corpses enrich your gardens, aerate your lawns, and plump your birds. Yet you see us as a plague and a punishment. When the muses saw men who were obsessed with the beauty of their own voices, they turned those men into us. And when the Greek goddess Eos forgot to ask Zeus to keep her immortal lover young, he aged and withered and shrank and dried out and, this is what you think of us, turned into a tiny cicada, who, presumably, was not much good to her any longer. Therein lies the real problem. Humans, as well as their gods, have zero tolerance for any incursion of nature that cannot be manipulated for benefit or cash value. Well, too bad. We answer only to ourselves. We live and die by our own rhythms. Basho, the legendary master of haiku, once observed, "Nothing in the cry of cicadas suggests they are about to die." Your lawnmowers should be so brave.